two-thirds of the organizers for this invitation. And I would like to use the opportunity also to thank participants for making this conference such a great conference. Okay, so what I'm going to talk about is a little bit more general than what is written in the abstract. I don't know, the abstract was in some a little bit too specific maybe, so I'll try to give some talk a little bit more general about the notion of smooth and proper DG algebras. And the purpose of this talk or of this work is to present some finiteness conditions for DG algebras. And I use the opportunity here to say that DG algebras will be always over some Grand ring K. This is a ring, a base commutative ring, and they are always associative with units. So let me start by some general motivations for introducing these finiteness conditions. There are two main motivations. The first one comes from non-commutative geometry. So we've heard in Lowenstock that an approach to non-commutative geometry is to consider that a non-commutative space is just an abelian category. So a non-commutative space is something like an abelian category. Well, at least this is one point of view on the subject. And, well, it turns out that in practice, the Dirac category of A behaves in a much better way than A itself. And I'm giving you an example right now. Well, first of all, you get more functorialities on the level of the Dirac category. So again. More functors. The typical example is this kind of constructions. For example, in the setting of in the coherent setting or in the discrete setting. And another more striking example is if X is a quasi-compact separated scheme, and if you look at its derived category of quasi-coherent sheaves on X, then this is always equivalent to the derived category of some DG algebra B. Unbounded on both sides. This is a theorem of Vandenberg. And definitely, if you look at the abelian category of quasi-coherent sheaves on X, this is very far from being a category of modules over something. And so passing to the Dirac category has some very interesting consequences. And in some sense, you get an object which is much more easy to deal with. But of course, then you have to go to the non-commutative setting, so associative DG algebras, and also to the Dirac setting. Okay, so this explains that I think this is an idea of mainly Kontsevich, that it might be better to define a non-commutative space as being something like a triangulated category rather than just an abelian category. A non-commutative space, or should rather be. A triangulated category, or if you like, stable and finite category. This point of view would be better than triangulated categories. But okay. So then, if you take this point of view on non-commutative spaces, then you have to, of course, not any triangulated category is going to be a space. You need to put some conditions on it. And if you want to deal with smooth non-commutative space, you need to say what it means for a triangulated category to be smooth. And if you want compact spaces, you have to say what does it mean for a triangulated category to be proper, and so on. So if you know how to define finiteness conditions for DG algebras, you get immediately finiteness conditions on triangulated categories, at least of the form D of B, and which is often enough. And these kind of categories are often enough in practice. Okay, so, and if you want to do geometry, the kind of finiteness condition you want are smooth, proper, finite type, I don't know, things like this. So this is the first general motivation. Just want to be able to say what does it mean for a triangulated category to be smooth, proper, or finite type, just to be able to do non-commutative geometry using this idea. The second general motivation has to do with the categorification. So we've heard a lot about categorification in Mike's talk, but I'm going to talk about categorification not of linear algebra, but categorification of homological algebra. So this has something to do, so the categorification of linear algebra is when you want to replace formally the category of K-modules or the category of vector spaces over some ground ring by linear categories over the same ring. And you want to consider that a linear category is some kind of vector space or higher vector space. So it's this thing replaced, say, the category K mod by a two category, which is the two category of K linear categories. So this is a one category. This is a two category of K linear categories. And for the purpose of this topological field series, we have seen that it appears it's very natural to replace vector spaces by categories, where this Z of the circles were going to be a category and not an object in a category anymore, or something, if you want to extend field theory to higher dimension. So that's something very natural to do. But from a purely abstract point of view, K-linear categories, when you think of them as generalization of K modules, are kind of boring. I mean, there are not so many interesting examples. In particular, as soon as you want to impose finiteness conditions, for example, if you want to restrict to K modules of finite type, and you you want to impose some finiteness condition on K linear categories, you find something which is not very exciting. Essentially, you find K module 2 BN or something. And also, so this is not, I would say, this is not very exciting. But also, if you try to do sheaf theory, now, you would like to generalize, for example, coherent sheaves, which are families of modules, by two coherent sheaves, which are families of categories, and then it's quite impossible to have push forward for these things. I mean, if you have a proper map between two schemes and you have a two coherent sheaf, or even a two vector bundle, I don't know, on X, which is just a family of linear categories over X that looks like a vector bundle to the N or something. So let's call it E. Then this is not a two coherent sheaf anymore. And even when Y is a point, I mean, this is not finite dimensional. I mean, the global sections of something compact with value in one of these two vector bundles is not finite dimensional. It's something huge. I mean, for example, H naught of X with value in the trivial two vector bundle, which is just the stack vect. This is the category of vector bundles on X, and this is way too big to be considered as a finite dimensional two vector space or something. So this is not finite dimensional. Okay. And once again, the situation becomes much more interesting when you try to categorify homological algebra instead of linear algebra, meaning you want to categorify the derived category of a ring and not the category of modules. And then you can develop a theory where you can have push forwards, for example. So, it is much interesting, or it is more interesting, to categorify or to try to categorify the derived category of K instead of K modules. And this means that the way you categorify K modules, you just take category enriched over K modules. Here you would like to take categories enriched over the derived category, and models for that are DG categories. To replace B of K by DG categories. Okay. And now once again, you would like to say what it means to be a finite type, or what it means to be projective, or what it means to be, I don't know, you would like to impose some condition on the DG categories here that would correspond to the usual finiteness condition you use for modules. And imposing this finiteness condition on DG categories is more or less the same thing as imposing the finiteness conditions on DG algebras. Just simply for the same reason as here, that often the DG categories are just generated by a single DG algebra. So if you know how to deal with DG algebra, essentially you know how to deal with DG categories that appear in geometry. So this means that you need finiteness conditions on each category. Well, we are just a generalization of DG algebra. Okay. Okay, so these are two general motivations. And unfortunately, I cannot spend more time on them, but and so I will try to follow the following 3 points, or at least 2 points maybe. There will be definitions. There will be examples. And I'll try to mention some results. Okay, so I need to first put some notations. So K is the ground ring. It's a commutative base ring. It's probably true that everything is going to work over a ring spectra, but I didn't check all the details. So at some point there are some technical properties with technical difficulties with ring spectra. I'm going to denote by HO of DGAlge. This is the homotopy category of DG algebras, so over K and associative and unital. And homotopy here is for quasi-isomorphism. Just a localization of DG algebras along quasi-isomorphisms. If B is a DG algebra, I will denote by D of B the derived category of B DG modules. Well, by the way, derived here is a very bad word. I mean, it's not the derived category of anything, but it's the homotopy category of B DG modules. And inside, there were these perfect DG modules that Michel was telling us about. These are just the compact objects in DB. And they are all the objects you can construct from B itself by taking some cones, some shifts, and some retracts, a finite number of these things. And I need one more notation. I will denote by HO more DG cat. This will not be very important in the talk, but I think it's an extremely important object. But I won't give too much details because I will mainly work with DG algebras, but this is really the true object we want to study, this thing. So this is the these are DG categories up to Morita equivalences. And I can give you a precise description of what it means. I mean, objects are just small DG categories, T, and morphisms, say, between T and T prime. Just take the set of isomorphism classes of bimodules. Well, maybe here there is a derived tensor product. Such that for any object in T, f of x is a perfect module in the second variable. We take this set up to isomorphism. And you can compose them as you compose correspondences. And it defines a category, and you can just prove that it is the same as just taking DG categories and localizing up to Morita equivalences. And an important structure of this is a symmetric monoidal category. I wrote the tensor product here. Well, if the ground ring is a ring and not a field, you have to derive it. And more important, it is closed. So given two objects here, you can define a new object, which is the internal home. So I will denote it by R home T T prime. Even though it's not the derived functor of some home functor, it's just an abstract notation to say it's the internal home object in this category, which has the universal property, and it has the adjunction property with respect to this monoidal structure. Okay, so now I can give you the main definitions of this talk. So I take B, 6DG algebra. So I say that B is proper if, as a complex of K module, it is a perfect complex. So if K is a field, this is just a finite dimensional key. This is just saying that B is finite dimensional. This is the derived analog of being finite dimensional. 2B is smooth if B is perfect, not over K, but over itself as a bimodule. Again, you have to derive it here. So, perfect. And so if you think geometrically that B is a kind of space, this means that the diagonal is a perfect complex. So the diagonal has a finite resolution, which is a finite homological dimension condition. So this means that B is finite, of finite homological dimension. B is of finite type if of any filtered system P alpha in, well, there is a small issue here that the filtered system is a system of DG algebras. It's not a system in the homotopy category of DG algebras. You have that the classes of maps from B to the collimit is the same thing as the collimit of the classes of maps. And again, this collimit is taken in DG algebras. It's not a collimit in HO. No. Yes, this is not a very good terminology, I agree. Yeah, it should be finitely. So it should be called homotopically finitely presented. And for some reason, we used finite type, and I don't want to change terminology because the paper is not published. So I should change terminology, but I agree that it's not a good terminology. Okay, and the last definition is not about a DG algebra, but about any DG category. T, a DG category, is saturated if it is realizable in this category of Morita, this category with this tensor of product. So realizable here means something rather strong. It's not that it is isomorphic to its bidual. It's more than this. It means that there is a dual object in the sense that I can say it what it means. It means that the natural map from T tensor with the dual of T, which is R home from T to K, to the endomorphism of T, that this is an isomorphism in the homotopy category of TG categories. And, well, if you keep in mind this categorification of homological algebra, this is the generalization of being projective of finite type. If you look at K modules and you look at dualizable objects in K modules, you exactly find projective modules of finite type. Okay. No, this is a strict differential graded algebra. No. I mean, all of these conditions are stable by quasi-isomorphism, so. But this one implies that it is equivalent to a retract of a finite cell algebra, or quasi-free algebra of finite type. I don't know exactly what the definition is. But all the definitions are invariants of under quasi-isomorphism, so cannot imply that it is cofragment. Okay. So just some facts about these definitions. The notions are not independent one with each other. There are some implications which make these notions interesting. And some of them are rather striking, even if they are not completely very difficult to prove. Well, the first one, which I like very much, is finite type implies smooth. So Angelo loves PGLN. I mean, I love this statement. I mean, much more than PGLN. I mean, I just contemplate it and... No, that's a joke. Why I like it is because this is some kind of hidden smoothness, you know, philosophy. And I think it's more reasonable than saying that anything is smooth. It just means that if you go to the non-commutative derived world, any object of finite type is smooth. But then, of course, being of finite type as an associative algebra is much stronger than being of finite type as a commutative algebra. So I like to see that as an incarnation of hidden smoothness philosophy. Just because objects coming from geometry are of finite type. So a funny consequence of this is that any DG algebra is a filtered colimit of smooth DG algebras. This is filtered, I mean, up to quasi-isomorphism, and B alpha are smooth. Because you can simply prove that any B is the filtered colimit of object of finite type and just applies this thing. And this is also striking. I mean, it was, you know, something funny, I think. And then you have this also a lovely result that says that smooth and proper implies finite type. Which is an easy way to produce objects of finite type. And finally, B, a DG algebra, is saturated if and only if B is smooth and proper. Yes, I mean, if you look at it, okay, I mean, if you look at it as an object here, so either by passing to the DG category of modules or just considering it as a DG category with one object. I mean, the fact that you work up to Morita equivalence here make it, takes into account the completion. So, and I wanted to say something stronger. I wanted to say that a DG category is saturated if and only if it is isomorphic here to a smooth and proper DG algebra. It's a bit stronger. And this is an isomorphism here. So saturated DG categories are the ones which are Morita equivalent to smooth and proper DG algebras. So saturated and smooth and proper means the same thing. So let me say here that if you apply the corresponding definition in the non-DG sense, so if you take algebras over a ring, and for example you have this nice class of saturated object or smooth and proper, the only smooth and proper algebras, I mean, I don't mean smooth and proper in the sense of DG algebra, I mean you copy the definition replacing Dirac categories by categories of modules, and then being perfect becomes being projective of finite type, then you only find a semi-simple algebra. And I don't know, I think we can consider that there are very few semi-simple algebras. Whereas we will see that there are a lot of saturated DG algebras. I mean, there are many, many of them. So by passing to the DG notions, we get much more objects. Actually, maybe too many objects, but at least we get many interesting examples. So examples. So there are three sources of examples. The first one is algebraic geometry. Well, you start with, say, a flat scheme of finite type. Then, as I said before, there is the theorem of Vondal and Vandenberg that says that the Dirac category of X is equivalent to the Dirac category of some DG algebra. If you don't put any more conditions on X, I don't know what to say about B, but you can say what it means for these notions. So B is smooth if and only if B is of finite type, and if and only if X is smooth in the usual sense. So it's, being smooth is really a generalization of being smooth. Ah, yeah, sorry, finite presentation. You don't love Noetherian rings, or...? Anyway, no, I mean finite presentations, of course. Then B is proper if and only if X is proper. And, well, that's it. So in particular, you get that if X is smooth and proper, then B is smooth and proper, which is equivalent to say that the DG category of perfect B modules is saturated. So I will use the same notations as Michel. So this is saturated as a DG category. This is just a DG model for the perfect derived category of B modules. So this gives you a lot of examples of smooth and proper DG algebras. You can just take, you choose one smooth projective complex variety, you get a smooth and proper DG algebra over C. And you can prove that there are almost as many smooth and proper DG algebras than smooth and proper schemes, in the sense that I will mention this at the end, the map from smooth proper schemes to smooth and proper DG algebras is almost kind of injective. I mean, the fibers are discrete, so and they have countable cardinality. So the cardinality of the set of smooth and proper DG algebras up to equivalence is a non-countable set. Yeah, it's itself. I mean, this is a very special case of commutative geometry that X is equivalent to its opposite. So it's a theorem that you can check that the dual is itself. I mean, what you can check is that Holmes from LP of x to LP of y is LP of x cross y. And from this, you deduce that the dual is itself. So this is a general principle that the commutative objects are self-dual. Okay, so there are also examples coming from algebraic topology. And it was also mentioned that in the second lectures of Mike Hopkins, or maybe the first, I can't remember, you take a finite CW complex, maybe connected, and you take its loop group. So this is a cofibrant simplicial group whose geometric realization, whose classifying space gives you back X. And you can take the group ring over that. This is the DG algebra of chains on G. And the fact is that this is of finite type. Which, of course, is related to the fact that the CW is finite. And in particular, it's smooth. So in some sense, a finite CW complex gives you examples of smooth non-commutative spaces using Kontrievich philosophy. And it's rather interesting because you can say what is the Dirac category of that DG algebra. This is just Dirac category of locally constant complexes of sheaves on X. This is the derived category of, well, locally constant means up to quasi-isomorphism. Complexes sheaves on X. I mean, this is because such an object is characterized by some kind of monodromy, which is an action of G on a complex, and the action of G on this complex will factorize it through some kind of linearization of G. So this is a generalization of the fact that the category of local systems on X is the same thing as the category of modules over the group ring over the fundamental group. Okay, and there is something is interesting here, but it would be maybe too long, and also I'm not sure I understand all the details, but that this particular DG algebra, I will give it a name, B of X, has a smooth and proper compactification. This was a remark made by Kontrievich. And the way you do this is you want to direct your space and then take some kind of directed loops, and you direct it in a way that you have no circles. So let me give a very simple example. You take S1 and you direct it like this. So here you will get the DG algebra, which is K of T, T minus 1, and here you will get K of the quiver is like this. And this is smooth and proper because now you don't have any loops. And this is a compactification of this in the sense that the Dirac category here fully embeds the Dirac category here. And so it looks like in the geometric situation that this is an open in something smooth and proper. And so this seems to be a general fact that if you have any finite CW complex, you can find such a thing, which is maybe it's a finite N category, maybe. And you can define what's the corresponding DG algebra, and you always get a compactification that way, which looks something nice. I mean, and it seems that to be believed that any DG algebra of finite type has a smooth compactification. Has a smooth compactification. Yes. I have the feeling. I don't know if it is always possible to find just a one category. Maybe it is, but. Sorry? Yes, this is one way to. I mean, you write it as the geometric realization of a finite temporal set, and you look at this finite temporal set as an N category, so you don't look at it as a quasi category, but one of these street thing or something. And if it has only finitely many cells, I mean, I don't know, we can talk about this. Okay, and the last example, but I said it here, it's maybe contained in this one, is representation theory. I mean, some part of representation theory. Nothing to do with representation theory as in the previous talk. It's just representation theory of quivers and the relations with, I don't know, quantum overlapping algebra. Or so if you have a finite quiver, then you can take its loop algebra. So this is just an algebra, and you look at it as a DG algebra. So this is of finite type. And it's proper if Q has no oriented loops. So typically, this one won't be proper because you will have. So this is another source of smooth and proper DG algebra. Of course, these are just algebras, but what can happen is you can find a generator of the derived category, which is not in the heart, and then you take the endomorphism algebra of this, and you take can be a pretty big DG algebra, but still it will be your finite type and proper, so it will be smooth and proper. Okay, so now I'll need to tell you some results you can prove with, I mean, or about this object. So the nice thing with this kind of objects is that they produce interesting higher stacks. And this was probably the origin of my personal interest in this object, was to construct some moduli spaces. And there are three kinds of moduli spaces I want to discuss here. That is the moduli space where you fix a DG algebra and you look at DG modules. So this was already mentioned by Michel. So this is a DG algebra, and you have MB, which is a moduli for DG modules. Well, I will be more precise about what these things are. Another moduli space is the moduli space of DG algebras themselves. So DG alg. Is the moduli of DG algebras. It won't be all DG algebras, but DG algebras that satisfy some finiteness conditions. And the last one is the moduli of objects in these DG categories up to Morita equivalence. Just get more moduli of DG categories to Morita. And so this one is very much related to what we were told by Wendy Lowen, who was studying the deformation theory of abelian categories. Here it's more related to the deformation theory of DG categories. So the more easy example is the third one. It seems bizarre, but this is the more easy example because you can't say much about it. But I will start by the first one, just to recall very briefly what is MB. So now B is a fixed DG algebra of finite type. And I'm going to classify DG modules which are finite dimensional over the base. So which are DG modules which are perfect over little k. So you can do it like this. It's a functor from commutative k algebras. And you probably remind that these objects cannot be just spaces or one stacks. They have to be higher stacks because of the homotopical nature of the object you want to classify. So this is a functor to simplicial set. And if you like, here you could put quasi-categories, or you could put simplicial categories, or you could put, I don't know, infinity categories, or anything you like. But you can put PGLN. Okay, so this is the functor that sends a ring R to MB of R, and MB of R is a certain nerve. Well, there are many ways to construct it, but one way is to say that it is the nerve of the following category. Objects are B times, maybe derived if necessary, DG modules. E, which are perfect over K. This was called pseudo-perfect by Michel. Oh, over R, sorry. And you have to think of it as a family of BDG modules parameterized by set R. And morphisms, you just take all the quasi-isomorphisms between such things. Of the And you look at this simplicial set, and here I use the usual model structure here. So I don't look at it as an infinite category, but it's more an infinite groupoid. So I take its scan completion and I compute its homotopy groups if you want. I look at it as a homotopy type. Okay, so this, the main result, I mean, one of the results says that this is a stack, so it satisfies the descent condition. So I definitely don't have time to explain what the stack here in this context, but this is just the hyper-descent condition for the étale topology that people have used since many years. So MB is a stack. Well, this is not that easy to prove, but this is not the interesting part. And the interesting part is this result Michel was mentioning yesterday, that MB is what we call locally geometric. I'll say in a moment what it means, and locally of finite presentation. Okay. And here, locally geometric means, well, Michel gave the definition of what's an n-geometric stack, or a geometric n-stack. This thing is locally an n-geometric n-stack, but the n can go to infinity if you move in the moduli space. So just locally, it's an n-stack, but it's not, the n is not uniform along the point. So it's a union of open sub geometric n stacks, and the n is not fixed. So this is a union of open and geometric stacks. And n can vary. Okay. So that's the first example of a moduli space you can construct using DG algebras of finite type. And it has some interesting consequences. it has an immediate corollary. So you can use this to construct these are existence of moduli stacks. I mean, these are moduli higher stacks of perfect complexes on smooth projective schemes. Well, actually, smooth schemes would be enough, but for smooth schemes, you won't get all perfect complexes, but the one which proper support in some sense. So it's better to use smooth and proper schemes. So you just apply these to the DG algebra corresponding to the derived category of X. And from this, you can reprove, for example, the recent result of Max Liebisch about the existence of a moduli for the rigid perfect complexes. But we have a little bit more conditions here than he has. We are not able to do the non-smooth case that way. Okay, and this is a very useful object. I mean, this is a very useful object for many reasons, but I have to quickly move to the other result. I mean, maybe Michel gave an example of how it can be used in the study of derived categories of analytic varieties and to prove this algebraization theorem, for example. So the second moduli space is the moduli space of DG algebra. This, so I don't want to say conjecture here because I have the feeling that that there is a proof. I mean, I have kind of a proof in mind, but I might be wrong. I don't know. So what was the, you say theorem? Yeah, maybe I would just say C. Maybe I should write it even here, you know. Anyway, so here's the statement. You define a stack of saturated DG algebras. So it goes from commutative K algebras to simple sets, and it sends R to the nerve of where objects are B times R, R DG algebras which are saturated as algebras over R, and morphisms are just quasi-isomorphisms of R DG algebras. Again, you can prove that this is a stack, and the says that DG alg set is again locally geometric and locally of finite presentation. So let me say one thing which is a theorem is this. This is really a theorem. And this is not completely immediate. I mean, there is a trick to prove this. I mean, I thought it was completely obvious, but it's not. Okay. Maybe I will. Yeah, let me mention one consequence of at least of the finitely presented character. I mean, finitely presented property of this stack. There is one. It's a strange consequence, but it's kind of interesting. So it's a corollary. So I will, this stack is not a finite type, so I will restrict to substacks of finite type. It means I need to fix some numerical invariants of DG algebras. And you have two interesting numerical invariants. I mean, two is enough. There is what I call the type, it goes the other way. The type is a function from D to N with finite support. And these are going to bound the dimension of the cohomology groups of the underlying complex. And the other invariant is an integer, and it's going to be to bound the cohomological dimension in some sense of DG algebras. Then if you give these two things, there is an integer. I have no idea how to compute it. It's very non-constructive, but there is one such that. So you restrict the, you take the full subcategory of DG algebras with type new and dimension D, which means that these are the B with, say, dimension of HI B less than UI, and the homological dimension is the length, in some sense, of a resolution of B as a bimodule. And B has a length D resolution as a bimodule. I mean, you have to make sense of this. But then you can think that the DG algebra is A infinity algebra, and you can forget about the higher operations. So you go to the homotopy category of AN algebras. This is the same N. And the results say that this is faithful. And this is not very difficult, but this is a little bit more injective on isomorphism classes. So in some sense, as soon as you fix these two invariants, you can check if two DG algebras are equivalent or quasi-isomorphic just by looking at the first N operations as A infinity algebras, which I think it's a kind of striking. I mean, it's reasonable once you know that smooth and proper implies a finite type. You need only a finite number of things. But even though to prove this, I mean, it would be a consequence of the geometricity of the stack plus this condition, and you can prove it by hand. So there is a proof that this that is based on what was the name? SAG? Spectral algebraic geometry. But it's only affine algebraic geometry of the spectra. It's not very difficult, but you really need unbounded, I mean, non-connective spectra. So there is a proof of these three things. Okay, so I have to be very quick. Just two minutes to mention this last moduli functor. So now I have DG cat sat, where it's the same definition as before. So it goes from K algebras, commutative K algebras, simplicial sets, and it takes R to the nerve of, well, the category of Morita equivalences between saturated DG categories over R. It's not a stack, there's a new thing. This is you have to stackify it, but this is not really the point. The point is that it is not a locally geometric stack. So we were trying to prove this very hard, and then, as usual, Jacob gave us a counterexample, so I think this is due to Louis. And the reason is quite clear. I mean, there exists formal deformation of schemes which are not algebraizable, and you just take the Dirac category of these things, and you get formal deformation of saturated DG categories which are not algebraizable. So this cannot be a locally geometric stack, which is sad, but still it is not too far from being locally geometric. The diagonal of this guy is representable. So it's representable by a locally geometric stack. So it's a very bad diagonal. And this follows from theorem one, the geometricity of MB. And it has a little bit more. You can prove that it has a reasonable obstruction theory. So it's formally representable. has a good infinitesimal theory, which is related to what Wendy Lowen was saying on the level of abelian categories. You can almost do the same here. And this has some consequences. Yes, it means that if I take two saturated DG categories and I look at the stack of quasi-equivalences or Morita equivalences, I get a locally geometric stack. I'm sorry, I just need one more minute to say what's the consequence of this. Corollary, there is a conjecture of Kawamata saying that if I fix a triangulated category, say, over C, then the set of smooth projective varieties for the complex numbers whose derived category is T0 is finite. So we don't know how to prove this, but we know how to prove that this set is at most countable. It's not a very good result, but oh, I should say that this is joint with Mathieu Hanel. Is that most countable? And the way we prove it is maybe more interesting than the result itself. I mean, the way we prove it is you have this, there is a stack of smooth projective varieties, and there is a kind of period map to the stack of saturated DG categories, and you want to study the fibers. There is a small issue about triangulated or DG, but you can apply some other results to replace this by a DG category. And and you prove that the fibers are discrete. This is an infinitesimal computation. And it uses the fact that you have a good deformation theory for saturated DG categories, where you can just compute the tangent spaces and see that it injects. So the fibers are discrete. I mean, fibers in some sense. And also, they have at most a countable number of irreducible components. This is related to the fact that this stack NB is a union. You can take the union to be a union of N geometric stacks of finite type, and it's a countable union. So, okay, sorry for... Okay, finished.